plastics. I'm being told I'm good. God is good. All the time. Amen. Well, while I'm getting everything set up here, give everybody here just kind of a heads up to what it is that's going on in this series that Pastor's talking about. God spoke to me a while ago when Pastor went under for the mini stroke and everything like that about this, and we talk about the kingdom, we talk about all the stuff involved in the kingdom and everything like that, and we've had message after message after message of just encouraging us and leading us and directing us and where to go and how to go about this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, but we're missing the big picture. We're missing the absolute big picture. And so he brought me back to something that we all know and enlightened me. And then it became very clear and simple, which is hopefully the idea of this series, is that it's going to be simplified. So, but we should be encouraged. So, Daniel, may I borrow you for a minute? This is a lot. We don't need this many. I have a worksheet that is going to be available online as well, if you could hand those out to each one. And guess what? I'm collecting it. So it's homework. For real, for real. So you got to put your name on it and everything. And I could talk to you later, Dory. So, in light of this, the Lord brought me back. Yep, the Lord brought me back to the Great Commission, and that's what this is really about. We're really going to start right there at the Great Commission, but then we're going to look at something that hopefully will encourage us in this Great Commission, and then the later weeks to come, what we're going to learn is what Jesus taught us and how to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, this is going to be fun. That's okay. You don't have to do it right now, but you can, but you don't have to do it right now. So what I want to start with and where I want to lead us off with is with the Great Commission is focus on where the Great Commission takes place, okay? First of all, if you're not sure where this is at, where Jesus commanded us to go, does anybody know? Well, no, does anybody know where it's at, Scripture? Matthew. Give you a hint. It's the very last. It's the very last passage out of Matthew. So if you go to the very end, if you go to the very beginning of Mark and go backwards, you're there. The Great Commission is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And I'll start there and I'll read. So all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. Now, that's the Great Commission. That is it. Jesus gave us one very simple instruction, and even in this verse, two verses, we mess it up. What is the Great Commission? No? Make disciples. That's it. That's it. The extra stuff in there, that's direction on how to fulfill the Great Commission. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them in the ways that He's commanded us. Okay. So that's all well and fine, and those are all the things that we're going to talk about later down the road. But the key here is that we have to go and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Now, how many of us have probably read that over and over again and probably made it something that it's not? It's very simple, isn't it? Make disciples. So then the question that you really have to ask is, am I fulfilling the Great Commission? Are you? Are you making disciples? I know Pastor is. I know I am. There's some other people are. But you have to ask yourself that question. Are you making disciples? Which then leads to a bigger question. Where do you have to be in order to make a disciple? Where do you have to be? Well, You have to be in Christ, but you also have to be a disciple. Seems very foreign to think that maybe that's the case, but that's true. That's the case. You have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in order to disciple somebody else. I need to have that which is in me to provide it to someone else. If you have nothing, Daniel, can I give you something? No, because you can take nothing from zero. Zero is finite. You have nothing. You have to obtain something first. So in order to obtain something, you have to receive from Christ that something in order to then give it to somebody else. And then Pastor's absolutely right. Where then should we be? Well, then we have to go into the world, okay? The bigger part of this picture is there's a difference. And if we don't understand there's a difference, then we are going to get educated today. Because there is a major difference. We are not of this world. Agreed? That is sad. We are not of this world. Agreed? Thank you. Oh, man, this is going to be good. Okay, so if we're not of this world, then how can we identify that we're not of this world? Well, let's start for just some bare nuts and bolts and just kind of get this out on the table. The world is corrupt, it's deceitful, it's wicked, and primarily evil. It is ruled by who? Satan. He is the evil one. He rules this world, okay? So, therefore, all the things that have gone on in this world, have they gotten better? No, they have not. 2,000 years ago, they weren't great then. Jesus walked the earth. He was the Son of God. What'd they do to him? They put him to death. They mocked him. Well, has it gotten better? No. What's worse is that, here's the trick, church, it's so bad that you can't tell who's of this world and who's not. That's how bad it's gotten. That's how bad it's gotten. Through absentee parenting, to reliance on government, to how we view the world as a resource and how we rely on it to meet our needs and not God. Surely, this is the downfall that Christ spoke of in Revelations. This is how close we are getting, folks. If you're not aware of how close it is, take that as just a little bit of an insight to where we're standing. Okay? It is not getting better, and it's not going to get better because it was not promised that it would get better. It will get worse. So if it's going to get worse, and the decline of this society as we know it, generation after this, is going to even get worse, then we need to start getting our rear ends in gear and start figuring out, finally, once and for all, what is it that this church is supposed to do? Daniel comes to me after a couple, what was it, 2 days ago? And he asked me a very important question. He said, what is the identity of this church? What is it? What are we going to do? We're about to get a building. What are we going to do? I thought that was a wonderful question. I started giving him an answer. But that's not an answer that you're going to get from Pastor. It's not Pastor's job to tell you what to do. You guys all have the answer. Hopefully, today, we'll start tuning you in to the answer giver, and you'll start understanding what this is all about. All right? So, I would ask Ken, if you could please put up this PowerPoint, because what I want us to do is take a look at something that will hopefully educate us a little bit in the differences between wonderfully two entities. First entity is, Ken, not working. Ed, sorry, you have to click on the little item and then click back. There it is. First entity is disciples. The second entity is the world. We're going to choose between A and B. All right, so let's talk about the disciples first. The first thing on the disciples, a rewarding lifestyle. What is a rewarding lifestyle? Anybody? It's one that actually has fruit. There's fruit in your life. That means there's something abundantly life-giving coming out of your lifestyle. Okay? It's a reward. It's a treasure. It's something we can be proud of and not hide. Okay? Next. You can impact the community. Well, we've been doing that, have we not? Have you been doing it independently? That's a disciple. Okay? Go ahead. You have a support system. Well, I'll be. Who is the support system of the 12 disciples?
Jesus.
Jesus. Right? So as a disciple, your discipler is your support. He's there to help you when you need help. Because guess what? You're going to need help, just like they did. You fight against sin. Okay? Which is important. We'll talk about the other side of that in a minute. You have bold leaders, or a leadership in you that is bold. Okay? Guess what? If you're a disciple, you're a leader. You're being trained in how to be a leader. And there's a boldness that's going to come in you, and it's going to take over, and you'll understand where your place is through it. You live a life of sacrifice. Not many people like that, but it's true. If you're living your life selfishly, you're not a disciple. I'm going to say that right now. You have courage. You have an entity that dwells in you that gives you courage to fight and to last in the fight. You hold truth as your standard. The word is your banner. It never falls. It's never faulty. It always comes back. It never returns void. So, this is important. And we model Christ. We model him. He is in us, and we live just as he did. We walk just as he walked. We preach just as he preached. And he preached what? Kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of God. That's it. What are we preaching? Are we preaching the kingdom of God? Because if not, then we're preaching another message that isn't his. We're not modeling Christ. So, all right. So now we've uncovered disciples. Now let's take a look at what the world says. The world goes for an easy lifestyle. Come on. Let's talk about this for just a minute. We can have a rewarding lifestyle that actually might require a little bit of work, but we prefer easy street. Because after all, it's easy to be lazy. And do nothing, just like the world. It's easy to take advantage of the system. It's easy to take hand-me-outs. Okay? You impact you. You're more concerned about number one, not about anybody else. You have more problems than everybody else does. I'm worried about me. You have zero accountability. None. Who do you answer to? You answer to you. And if you put you in a room with you and you say, hey, is this okay? Guess what you're going to say? Of course it is. Which leads us to this. You tolerate sin. You tolerate it. And then I'm going to point out a very small thing here. The big difference between these two. Fight against sin, tolerate sin. The person fighting against sin doesn't even accept it in somebody else's life. The person that's in the world, guess what they do? They'll even tolerate it even if it's not in their life. My life, I don't live a sinful life, but you can do whatever you want. It's fine. You're not hurting nobody. Next. Quiet followers. They're not looking to step up. They're looking to blend in. I can just skirt along your curtails for a little while. All's good. Pay no attention to me. I'm just kind of blending here. Okay? You live a life of convenience. When it's good for you, when it works in your schedule, when it fits, when it's everything's good, we'll go with that. You have fear. You have fear. Now, fear of everything. I mean, it doesn't matter. Pick something. There's fear. There's fear. There's absence of courage. You have fear. The world lives in fear. It makes all their decisions based on fear. Think about it. We're afraid our nation's going to go bankrupt. What do? Let's print more money. That'll fix it. Not going to help. You don't have truth as your standard. You have the world standard, which is up to everybody. What do we all think is great for the world? Because that's great for me. Oh, we need to go and save the planet. You can't save the planet. There's no way you can save the planet. You can save the people, but you can't save the planet. And they model something like Christ. Well, I'm like Christ. I do good things. I help old ladies across the street. Okay? The catch here is, and I hope that you've been paying attention, because you see there's a big difference between these two, but here's the sad part. Ken, click it one more time. That's actually what believers model. Be like, whoa, 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 wait, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You just said that that was the world. Yeah, it is the world. But can you tell the believers from the world anymore? Is it good enough to just believe in Jesus Christ? Is it good enough? No, because that's not what he called us to do. It was never commissioned to us to go and make believers in Jesus Christ. That's not there. You can't find it. You won't find it. That wasn't the commission. If you're only worried about saving souls, if you're only worried about, thank you, Ken, you can turn that off. If you're only worried about saving souls, if you're only worried about conversions, which we learned not too long ago, that's not what Christ commissioned you to do. Guess what you are? You're disobedient to the gospel. You're disobedient to his commission. You're disobedient. I didn't say you are. He says you are. Because he gave us one thing to do. Make disciples. That's what we've been commissioned to do. And more so than just even that, he didn't just commission us to do it. He provided everything for it. And not only did he provide for it, he prayed it in advance. And if you could, turn to John 17. This is where we're going to spend the rest of the time in the message at. John 17. The whole shebang. Actually, we're going to skip past the first section of the passage, but it's fine. Just get to 17. The catch here is, guys, that Satan has been defeated. Yes? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. All right. Then why do we keep letting him win? Good question. The reason we keep letting him win is because we don't believe, or we don't have faith enough to believe, that we will succeed in what he's commissioned us to do. We don't believe. We believe with our mouths, we might believe in our minds, but we don't believe in our hearts that we are bound for success. We see every step of our walk is met with trial and tribulation. Every step of our walk. How many here thought being a Christian was going to be easy? Good, because you shouldn't. Because that's what the world asks for. I'm not interested in being a Christian anymore. I'm interested in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to encourage each and every one of you to start changing your language. Change your dialogue. I'm not a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Or at least I'm trying to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. No, no, not a Latter-day Saint. None of that either. We don't want that. All right, so if you go and you read in John 17, and I'm going to start at verse 6. Jesus is praying for his what? He's praying for his disciples. This is important. He's praying for us. I have revealed to you those whom you've gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Pause. Did we hit Acts yet? Did they start walking this out yet? Did the disciples actually start speaking in tongues? Did the Holy Spirit come upon them in fire and power yet? Were they bringing in multitudes and multitudes? Baptizing them? No, they did not do anything yet. Yet, what did Jesus say? They were sent to him, and they believed. So, the first step of this discipling process is that you have to understand you were sent, and then you believe. Well, we practice that. We do that. Okay? We sit, we talk, we find out where your stance is and what you believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that, you know, he's your Lord and Savior? We get there. Okay, well, that's great. But does that make you a disciple? Not yet. What did the disciples actually do before Acts? They followed him. They observed him. They watched him. They took notes. They made corrections in their walk because, after all, before Christ even showed up, they just lived their lives day to day, just like we all did. But they studied. They watched. They observed. They looked deep down. And they received his corrections. Did they not? Did they not receive his corrections? They were dunderheads. Stay up and pray with me. Smack! I said, stay up and pray with me. Smack! Doesn't mean that we're not going to be perfect. And it sure as heck doesn't mean that we're going to be acts. Being a disciple doesn't mean you have to jump in, guns blazing, and start setting the world on fire. That's not what a disciple is. That's not even close to what a disciple is. We're going to find out. Continue on. 9. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Pause again. He just gave us something through prayer. First of all, let's stop. Let me not assume something here. I'm going to be wrongful if I do continue to move on through this and assume. Do we understand that Jesus is praying to his Father, our Father? Okay. Do we believe that when Jesus prays to his Father, our Father, that his Father, our Father, will answer his prayer? Why? Why do we believe that? Because they are one, as he stated. Because as they are one with me, I am one with you. They're one. They're already in agreement. So we should agree then that everything that Jesus is praying for us right now is ours. Can we agree with that? I hear Dan say amen. Amen. All right, so if we all can agree to that, then he just gave us something. He just gave us what? Begins with a P. Protection. Thank you, Ken. Protection. You are protected. Wonderful. So that means I should not have any fear because I'm protected. It's like having 20 bouncers around me everywhere I go. You want to pick a fight? Not going to happen. Ask Pastor, I'll tell you. Guy came up and put a gun to his head. What happened to the gun? Didn't fire. He will protect you. But you have to be a disciple. Don't go out there not being a disciple. You're out of that protection. We had a long teaching about that umbrella. Are you under it or are you away from it? Because if you're away from it and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you're not there. But as long as we stay in our discipleship mold, which we had up there, guess what? We're protected. Moving on. While I was with them, this is at 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Satan is doomed. That's been confirmed now. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Uh-oh, pause. What did he give us now? Full measure of joy. We should be happy. Why is the church miserable? I mean, Streams isn't miserable. We're happy people. We're lively today. Not today. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get you encouraged. You have joy. You should be happy. Not stressed out. Not angry. Well, you should be angry, but you shouldn't be angry with yourself. You shouldn't be angry with your fellow believers. No. We should be happy. He's given us a full measure of joy. That means joy that will baffle you. Joy that will astound you. Joy that will surprise you and amaze you when you least expect it. That's what a full measure of joy is. It's not a little joy. It's all joy in every shape, in every form. 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. Pause again. Are you hated? Are you? Does the world hate you? I'll tell you right now, the world does not hate you because you're not a threat. You're not a threat. I'm going to be 100% honest. Streams is getting there. We're getting there. We are starting to heat the coals on the people of this world and tell them, guess what? Your standards, they're not good. And they're going to start hating us. Just like they hated Christ. They're going to start hating you. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared to be hated? Or are you worried about, but I want everybody to love me. Because I'm so cute and adorable. I'm not the one that's preaching the word. I'm only reading scripture here, folks. I'm just reading scripture. 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Again, protection. A double portion. You are not just protected by your front, you are also protected by the rear. And on that, guess what? You're not getting out of here anytime soon. He prayed you stay. So stop trying to wait for the end of days to come so you can get your rapture card out of here. If that's your plan, you're in the wrong church. If that's your plan, you are in the wrong church. I'm sorry, because we're not waiting for the rapture. This church isn't waiting for the rapture. This church is a warring church. It's a warring church. Because we believe, just like Jesus preached, Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to go and make disciples. That's what we're going to do. And guess what? Some of them are going to come kicking and screaming, as some of us have. Some of us are going to go, and we're going to bring in 12, 13, 14, 18 disciples. Some of us are only going to bring one. But it doesn't matter the number. It's that you bring a disciple. And that's why that worksheet has been given to you. Are you a disciple? If you are, good. Are you discipling someone? Good. Then you're following the Great Commission. If you're not, then are you being discipled? Why aren't you being discipled? These are common questions that we haven't been asking. Why? Why haven't we been asking these questions? If it's part of the Great Commission, it's what we're supposed to do. Why aren't we following it? Why aren't we paying attention to it? Discipleship should be number one. It should be the only thing we're paying attention to. Because after all, how can we learn what we're supposed to go and do if we're not being discipled? And if you are, then why aren't you telling somebody else what to do and how to do it? It's a simple formula. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. Is that new math? 16. 16 is the answer. 16. Let's move on, shall we? 16. That's the verse. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We're not of this world. Confirmed. You're not part of them. You were, but you are not anymore. Stop identifying with them. The more you blend in with them, the further away from God you walk. And you're going away from being a disciple and going back to conformity. You want to talk about once saved, always saved? There's your answer to why you're not. Plain and Jane. It's scripture. I'm not making it up. There it is. Read it. You're not of this world. If you go and act like them, guess what? You go right back where you came. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We have been sanctified. What does sanctification mean? We've been set apart. Set apart for what? His will, not ours. And His will is to the we make disciples. That's His will. We make disciples. He did it for us. He showed us how to do it. He didn't leave us without a mold to follow. Go. Call them out. Train them. Show them the way they should go. And then, go what? Send them out. To go what? Make disciples. It's very simple. Now, here's where it gets tricky. If you go on, he prays for future believers. He prays for all the rest to come. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me. Through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, through the world, though the world does not know you, I know you. They know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. All of our success, our future success from this day forward has been already promised to you through the prayers of Jesus Christ. There's no excuse. There's no reason. None as to why we should continue to ID ourselves with the world. There's no excuse. If we have any shred of dignity in our respect for God and Christ, we should stop acting like the world, because it's not getting you anywhere. And more importantly, it is not going to allow you to preach the kingdom. The world does not understand the kingdom. They can't understand the kingdom. But we do. And as vessels, clean, holy vessels, then with full understanding and training, we will be able to turn around and bring forth the gospel that he commissioned us to go and bring. Because he trained the 12 disciples and laid it all out for us. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed, I already laid out for you, is how more corrupt the world has become, how more deceitfully wicked the world has become, and how more not interested in you they are. So our job has gotten much more difficult. It hasn't gotten easier. It's gotten harder. And so I'm encouraging you guys today, along with that worksheet, okay, to stand up and own your walk. Are you a disciple or not? And if you're not, are you going to be, or are you going to play games? Because if you're going to play games, this ain't the place for you. We've heard it before. This is a serious church with a serious mission, because we believe what Christ commissioned us to do, and we're going to follow it. We're not going to mix it and patch it up with some nice song and pony dance. We're not doing that. We're not interested in the world standards. They like to make feel-good messages. Guess what? You want to know what the world has established? A bunch of religions to keep Christians Christian. Right. And to stop training disciples in Jesus Christ. That's what's come about. That's how really deceitfully wicked this world has become. It's used this as a weapon against us. Are you going to fight back? Or are you going to join their team? Because that's the only place it is. There's no other options. Yeah, you can pretend like everything's hunky-dory, But that stuff gets exposed in this church. So are you going to pick up your sword? Are you going to fight back? Are you? Are you going to pick up your sword and fight back? I'm calling you out. Pick up your sword. If you're going to pick up your sword and fight back, pick up your sword. If you're unequipped, that's your fault. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I will do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.